Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday. Eric the Tech, it's Friday, isn't it? Tell me it's Friday. It doesn't matter, though, does it?
Nope, doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything, but it's Friday to those people who work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. It's Friday. It's Friday night. Oh, boy. And this program is this segment is the show, all right, because we had to do some things earlier, and we have to do some things afterwards that relate to investigations that we're active in, because this is not just the chair force, this is the actual ground force as well. And we may be even addressing a little bit about that today. I'm not sure. Austin Brower is, of course, a Friday staple, and I'll tell you what, he is just a fountain of information, and he doesn't miss anything. So with that, I want to bring Austin Brower on. Oh, by the way, Monday. So let me just say this. If you see the headlines, or if you've seen the headlines, okay, you'll see that we are making ground progress in certain matters of, distasteful topics such as human trafficking and such. Okay, so Monday we are going to be working in the field from really dawn to dusk and beyond. So just kind of a heads up there. I'm going to be trying to do some shots from my office, updates from my office. But having said that, this show will be aired as well as a segment on Monday. So just thank you very much for your support and for your understanding. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, folks. I can't tell you how important this is. I feel great. You know, the people around me, some have gotten sick, some have gotten really sick. I'm talking about not alternative media, but domestically here. And the difference between me and them, even though I'm exposed to stuff, is Health Masters. I take it. Eric the Tech takes it. Our whole family takes Health Masters. Go to healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. It's right there up on your screen, unless you're driving and not watching this. Healthmasters.com. And look, folks, you get what you pay for, and you get what – I'm going to tell you something, all right? I've had in my years, I've taken stuff from, you know, CVS or Rite Aid or Walmart or whatever the case might be, and I've taken stuff from MLM companies. I've taken – just you name it. I've just taken it. But nothing has made me feel better and given me the immune system boost than Health Masters. And one with a product of the week, zinc. Oh, man. Hey, guys, you need to take zinc. And I'm not going to tell you why. Do I have to tell you why? I'm just not going to tell you why. All right. So anyway, go to healthmasters.com. And while you're there, while you're shopping, tune in, drop in on their show. Go to the upper right-hand corner, and there you'll see the Ted and Austin Brower Show, premier father-son investigative podcast on the internet today and on Global Star Satellite Radio. There it is right there, Monday through Friday. You see that? It's right there on the right. Click the button. Listen to them. A lot of great informational downloads. All right, with that, Austin Brower. Austin, come on in. Let's talk.
Doug, great to be on the show as always, my friend. It's always a pleasure. And yeah, the product of the week, the zinc, really, really good for the immune system. That's why it's coupled in the kit with the vitamin C, the D3, and the zinc. And something that I wanted to address real quick, because I've been getting a lot of phone calls. Steve's been getting phone calls. I've been getting emails. There's some either email or document or something somewhere that's been circulating now where people have been calling up and they're saying that they're being told that if they take D3, it's impossible for them to contract COVID. Now, I've never said that. I've never implied that. Neither has Ted. That's actually not factual. D3, however, is very important. And I think what's happened is a new research study got published last month in September, and people are getting confused on what it's actually saying. Granted, it's very, very positive about D3, and it actually encourages D3 usage, but there's no one single element that's ever going to be a 100% prevents you from getting a virus. And the article, the research study is called Relevance of Vitamin D3 in COVID-19 Infection. It actually has 127 clinical references, and it went into detail, and it said a rigorous research and potential risk factors have highlighted important contributors to the disease spread, which may include age, obesity, diabetes, ethnicity, and potentially other possible risks, including insufficient vitamin D levels. This can be contributed to the fact that vitamin D plays a pivotal role in the dissemination of immune functions. The function of D3 can prove advantageous in warning about the consequences of the COVID-19 disease. And when it goes into the conclusion, it says in the available clinical data, it's still in its infancy. However, a large number of recent manuscripts do support the notion that vitamin D deficiency is related to COVID-19 disease. At the time of writing this article, clinical trials have already been conducted and many more underway linking the impact of vitamin D levels in patients with COVID-19. So until we find something conclusive, it would not be an exaggeration if we state that maintaining balanced levels of vitamin D is highly recommended considering its diverse benefits in our system. That 121 clinical references, really good research study. It's on our website. And so that's what I think a lot of people are reading, and they're saying, oh, if I take it, I can't get it. No, what the research is clearly showing is individuals that have high, healthy levels of vitamin D, in most cases, have a much, much lower side effect if they catch COVID. And in a lot of cases, it can help prevent any type of severe side effects, including those that may take you to the hospital. That's the research that they're finding. So I just wanted to encourage everybody, yes, making sure D3 levels are adequate and high in your body on a regular basis, because the thing about it is it has to be consistent before you get exposed to the virus. A lot of times people want to wait the last minute and they get sick or they get a real bad viral infection from COVID, and then all of a sudden they want to start stacking products. That still works good, but it's not nearly as effective in staying tapped off on this stuff on a regular basis and trying to stay as healthy as you can and before you ever get exposed to something. So I just wanted to put that information out there and clarify that, Doug.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, anyone who is saying, well, you know, you take D3, that's a magic bullet. No. And you're right. And I appreciate that clarification, because people will start saying, well, wait a minute. You know, this is contributes to the misinformation. So, but yeah. I will say that when I spoke to a couple of physicians, I can tell you two in particular have said that they're, when they did a complete metabolic panel or whatever you call that blood test, they did test the vitamin D levels, and the people that had gotten sick were deficient in vitamin D. Now, is that, you know, causation, correlation? I don't know, but it certainly is one thing to consider. But bottom line is, look, take your nutritional supplements that are natural. They're all natural, and they can't.
It's all about boosting your system.
There it is.
That's it.
There it is.
Well, and that's what I tell a lot of people is, you know, this is a very, very cheap, easy preventative measure you can do on a regular basis with pretty much no known side effects. You know, healthy doses of D3, vitamin C, and zinc have no significant side effects. They're products that I've used for the last two decades. And so when you start looking at, okay, which is better, to make my immune system strong naturally or to go get RNA gene therapy? You know, it was disturbing to me yesterday, if you saw, the Pfizer now has basically demanded essentially what they do, because Pfizer and the FDA are pretty much neck and neck with Scott Gottlieb. He's made sure he's bounced back and forth so many times. There's not even a line between the company and the federal, you know, basically the FDA now, the federal line on that. And so what's happened is now they're demanding that the emergency use authorization of the COVID injection be available for children as young as 5 years old now. Now, what's grossly disturbing about that is I actually looked at the numbers. They said they would broaden their market in the U.S. to another 28 million people, which if you do the math, which is roughly around $35 to $40 for an injection, I think, from Pfizer, that means they're going to generate another $1.1 billion just from a first round of injections into 5 to 12-year-olds. And what's interesting about this, if you look at the Health Impact News, they did an article about 2 weeks ago, and it showed that teens now are 50 times more likely to develop heart disease after a COVID injection than all other FDA-approved injections. As you see on the VAERS report, if you report from ages 12 through 19, there have been 31 deaths, 181 permanent disabilities, 3,679 ER visits, 1,655 hospitalizations, 331 life-threatening events, and 748 reports of heart inflammation, including myocarditis. That's just this year, or from December to current date on the VAERS report. Those numbers are huge. Now, if you take the same VAERS report and look up all 76 of the currently approved vaccines, insane 76, from ages 12 to 19, in the same time period from December to current date, this is 76 different injections. You have 4 deaths, 12 permanent disabilities, 36 hospitalizations, 14 life-threatening, 15 cases of myocarditis. That's with 76 different injections over the period of a year. So it's literally 50 times more likely, according to VAERS, that these young children are going to develop essentially heart disease, what myocarditis most likely turns into later on, especially if it's not checked. And they're saying now they want to inject this into 5-year-olds. And what's interesting enough about this, another article came out from Dr. Nathan Thompson, and it's kind of an independent small study, but it shows you, this is just a one singular event, but it shows you in a very controlled setting what this is doing to the immune system when it's injected. Take away the weird stuff that we're talking about that's in it, the graphene oxide, the side effects. Just take that all the way to the side and shelve that for a second. The independent study conducted by an Illinois physician, Dr. Nathan Thompson, shows how the COVID injection suppresses the body's actual immune system, leaving vaccinated individuals much more susceptible to illnesses, which could explain the phenomenon of breakthrough infections among the vaccinated. So Thompson described he received permission from a healthy patient to run immune system blood panels before the jab, after his first jab, and after the second jab. So he ran panels on the patient. The patient got the first injection, he ran panels again. The patient got the second injection, he ran panels again. So he said, you see everything's doing well. He's got slides of it up. Thompson says, reviewing the patient's pre-jab panel. However, on the second panel after the first injection, he said, what's interesting here, you start seeing the CD8 cells jump through the roof, which is a suppressor T cell, also known as a killer T cell. And what do? They have a sniper-specific cell that's designed to kill virally infected cells. So they're going up through the roof as basically they have this outside foreign body. Well, the RNA injection is not supposed to do that. The RNA injection is supposed to tell your body essentially to start producing spike proteins so you can have a response to it. But what he's seeing here is that there's a significant outside impact, not just an RNA setup. He said the second injection is what really gets weird. He said on the third panel administered after the patient's second jab, it showed an even more startling development. The patient's adaptive immune system now had completely tanked, like it had been overrun. He said the granny sites jumped up. He said they're mostly for bacterial infection and cleaning up tissue damage, and they went through the roof. You can see how badly now it started to tank here in this slide. What's interesting, too, is you can see the natural killer cells have absolutely tanked as well. The result is lowered immunity all across the board for the patient, which would leave a person susceptible to any infection, including cancer cells. His adaptive immune system is absolutely tanked. Immune system, CD4, CD8, natural killer cells, lymphocytes, all of those have literally pummeled to the floor within a month after the second injection, which we explain. The only thing that did this was the injection. The patient was extremely healthy, exercised, ate clean, was on no medications, and basically had a pretty controlled test panel to look at this. So what we're seeing now here is that this injection is not at all preventing COVID under any circumstances. It's not even reducing symptoms from COVID under any circumstances. It's literally overwhelming the immune system to the point that the immune system literally gets almost shock therapy and completely downregulates and pummels, is what he's talking about. The next thing he talks about later on, I didn't bring this up, is he said what's going to happen when this individual is exposed to another extremely aggressive virus. He said it's very likely the individual's immune system is going to shut down and the body's going to be overwhelmed. This makes sense on why we're seeing so many vaccinated individuals having breakthrough cases, like they keep saying, and going to the hospital, being put on ventilators, put on remdesivir, and then checking out the next couple days. So again, this is just something we're starting to see over what? A 9-10 month period of this injection really being out on the market, and now the FDA wants to start injecting this to 5-year-old kids. They think that's okay. This is so important. Listen to me, parents, right now. You are responsible for your children. If you do this to your kids and they have some severe side effect, which is very likely, you alone are going to have to answer, not only to them, you're going to have to answer to God Almighty on this. When you knowingly inject your child with experimental gene therapy, that has been very clear now how unbelievably toxic and dangerous this shot is, you are responsible for them, and you're responsible for answering to them on that. So you need to be really clear and think about these things before you start running around and letting these quack doctors, in some cases, inject these young children with gene therapy that has never been long-term tested on anything other than ferrets and cats, and both of those animal studies, almost every animal subject died. That should give you a strong enough answer right there, Doug.
Wow. Okay, now... I know there are people listening that have received this injection. Whether you are, you the listener who has received this, under duress or regardless of why, to those people who want to mitigate the either perceived or actual, or potential or real damage to the immune system, is there anything, I mean, it's never too late in my view to start taking nutritional supplements, but is there anything to your knowledge that could be done to mitigate the toxic effects of this, this black goo, whatever, this goo that they're putting into us?
To a far extent, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I do know the fact that there's certain products like N-acetylcysteine that we carry that are glutathione precursors, and products like GHI Cleanse, which could very well help detoxify the body. I know chelation therapy that we carry with EDTA, it can help pull out heavy metals out of the body. Those kind of options right there with a few of those products may work to an extent. The problem with this is the same thing I've been saying and screaming from the rooftops the entire time. Nobody knows what this is going to do long term. Most vaccines at the bare minimum have 4 to 5 years of human trials on them. This is unprecedented on every level of medical and scientific field that we've ever seen over the last 100 years. And, we made mistakes in science and in history back in the early 1900s with a lot of this stuff. And it's like we're now making one of the worst mistakes we've ever made in history with an experimental injection. And we have no idea what this is going to do a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road. Heck, we're like, hey, guess what? Booster shot now. We don't even know what the side effects of the first one are going to be. Go ahead and get a booster shot now 6 months later because the shot doesn't work. That in and of itself right there should make you question everything. I've encouraged everybody I know, do not under any circumstances get this shot. I don't care if you're coerced. I don't care if you're blackmailed. I don't care if they try to threaten to fire you. You get a medical exemption or you get a religious exemption and you fight on this. At any point in time that the United States caves in and we start blindly accepting injections, especially experimental injections, just, oh, they're safe and effective, come here and take them. Why in any circumstances would we believe anything Pfizer has to say? Pfizer has had the largest criminal fines in U.S. history repeatedly. They are not a good company. They're not an honest company. And we've seen that now with Project Veritas, with the scientists that basically are on record, on videotape, talking about if you got natural immunity, it's much better than the COVID injection. The one I'm saying, dude, we're basically, I work for an evil company. We function off COVID money now. That's our bread and butter is COVID money. Everything's about the COVID injection and getting more injections out there. They're on record saying this stuff. But yet so many people just bury their head in the sand and pump more mud on themselves and say, hey, I'm not hearing it. I'm not listening. Give me another shot so I'll be safe because it's for my protection. And we have to realize it's time Americans start asking questions. You have the right to ask questions. You have the right basically to dissent. You have the right to say, no, you don't want your children being taught critical race theory. I know you talked about it on the last show yesterday. And I've been so flustered watching some of this now with the Department of Justice basically being used now as this militaristic force for the school boards. And what's ironic to me is the same thing I've questioned and the same thing basically Laura Bogart's been questioning. Where are all these cases of alleged threats and violent threats from domestic terrorists in the school board meetings? I've been in the school board meetings.
Oh, they got your number, brother. They got your number.
I'm on camera, facial recognition. They already know me. I made no threats. I made no life-threatening comments. I wasn't domestically violent. I didn't any of that. And majority of the videos I've seen are no different. Parents want to know what their kids are being taught, and they don't want them being taught critical race theory. Ironically enough, the Department of Justice, I'm talking about it, his son-in-law is right on the head of spearheading all the information for critical race theory and getting the contracts to sell them to the school boards. So you have this massive, massive conflict of interest. On top of it, you have the children being taught absolute horrific doctrine and principles now, being told to wear masks. Now they're saying in California, no kid's going to be able to go to school unless they have the COVID injection. The shot's not even emergency approved for children. But no matter, Newsom's buckling down now and turning into the great tyrant that he wants to be and basically stating, you can't go to school for your kid if you don't get the injection. By golly, we don't know what it's going to do. We don't know if it's going to kill them. Doesn't matter. Kids got to get the shot, even though there's almost virtually no life-threatening cases with children contracting COVID if they don't have some serious health concern before they catch it. So, again, why are we allowing this? That's the million-dollar question. What are we going to keep doing? Are we going to keep complying? Are we going to keep sitting back and saying, hey, guess what? Where's my next booster shot? Where's my next check? Where's my next bailout? This is what they're getting people to do. And it was very clear last year once you started seeing the free money rolling in, what they were getting people used to doing. And that is begging and asking and surviving off the government. And that's a place that has no business as an American populace and a republic cannot survive that type of communism infiltration in this country, Doug.
You know, I can't help but think this is not going to end well. And I can see... Now, they're already talking about in Canada going actually door-to-door, depending on the province, inject people. I mean, I want to be careful here. I don't want to, you know, put fear out there, but that's what's being discussed. However, okay, my question is, if they try that here, what will the pushback be? Or will people just roll over and say, okay, I guess, you know, or my favorite, this isn't the hill to die on. No, we're not going to die on any hill. You make the other people die on the hill that they're trying to go after. But anyway, my question is, you know, at what point do Americans, which you asked, say, no, we're not going to do this? Because remember in 76, Gerald Ford, that big, the swine flu, you know, he sat there and he got injected, with the swine flu vaccine and then 25 dead and 500 and some odd cases of neurological disorders later, they pulled it. They said, no.
They pulled it immediately. Yeah. Well, did you see the video with the health minister in Canada now talking about how all the way into 2024 now they've contracted for booster shots from Pfizer? Did you see that?
Yeah. Which corresponds with the FDA approval, which is a non-approval. It's a bait and switch. It won't be, I think it's 2024. It won't be available until 2024. So whatever the FDA approved in quotation marks, whatever jab juice they did, it won't be available in that time. So it's kind of an interesting correlation of dates there.
It's very much, and it's ironic to me that you have the health minister saying we've contracted Pfizer for 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 65 million booster doses a year. Well, they're telling everybody in Canada right now, this isn't going to stop. I had a listener email me and they capitulated. They said, you know, I capitulated a couple weeks ago. And they said, I can't travel. I can't do anything without the shot right now. I think they're in Alberta. And they said it's gotten so bad. They said, I just went ahead and I went and got my first round of shots. And I entered my back and said, well, how are you feeling? They said, man, I'm just kind of tired. I said, I don't feel too bad. I just kind of feel more like just tired, not much energy. And I sent them the video in Canada with the health minister talking about 2022, 23, 24. And I said, you do understand this isn't going to stop, right? I said, I know you got the shot thinking it was going to solidify everything and you were going to be able to run around. And they responded back to me and basically said, oh my gosh. They said, I just saw the same thing. They said, I don't even know what to do right now. And I said, no. I said, this doesn't stop until you make it stop. I said, they are going to inject you literally all the way into hell if you let them. They're going to shoot you up every single year, multiple times a year. And now they've got the vaccine passports in place. Doesn't matter. Now they got it rolled out. Now that everybody's starting to capitulate with them in November, I think the beginning of November in California, they're doing the same thing. Now they're going in and saying restaurants, schools, libraries, movie theaters, if you don't have a COVID passport, you're not doing anything in California. And now the L.A. County Sheriff has come out and said he is not going to enforce any type of vaccine mandate whatsoever, vaccine passport. He said, we're already short-staffed. We're already basically overworked. He said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it whatsoever. And in response to what you were talking about with the Pfizer injection is currently on the market, was not approved by the FDA. It's still emergency use. Comirnaty is the one that actually got approved by the FDA. Right. And they went ahead and they said Comirnaty and Pfizer are identical shots. They're identical shots. But Comirnaty is getting approved. It's not even out yet. And the current one out isn't approved. It's emergency use.
So are they identical shots?
No, they're not identical shots. They tell on themselves, and I'll read it to you right here. So this is what Pfizer says, and this is why you already know with Pfizer, do they lie through their teeth? They don't care about paying fines. If they can make $50 billion off an injection and they have to pay a $2 billion fine for killing people, they do an ROI cost-benefit analysis, and they go, we'll take the $50 billion and we'll pay the $2 billion because at the end of the day, we netted $48 billion and we killed 10,000 people and we don't give a rat's ass because we're Pfizer. They've done this repeatedly. They've got caught doing this. So this is what Pfizer said. In terms of its ingredients and how it's made, the vaccine being approved for those 16 years and older is no different than the vaccine already being administered to millions of Americans under the emergency use authorization. Well, my first question was, well, why didn't you just approve the one that's already approved under emergency use authorization?
There you go.
Why would you approve a whole new vaccine that's exactly the same? Why wouldn't you just slap a new label on it and say, hey, we're putting a new name on this vaccine that's approved? It's not. They're two different patents. They're two completely different vaccines, but they're telling everybody they're exactly the same. The footnote at the bottom of the fact sheet issued on August 23rd states, the licensed vaccine has the same formulation as the emergency use authorized vaccine, and the products can be used interchangeably to provide the vaccination series without presenting any safety or effectiveness concerns. However, the products are legally distinctly different from one another, with certain differences, however, that do not impact safety or effectiveness. So wait a minute. You're saying it's the exact same vaccine, and it's made the exact same way with the exact same ingredients, but they're distinctively different and have certain differences, but they do not impact the safety.
You know, okay, so I saw that, and I did know the answer to that question before I asked, but I saw that, and my question was, okay, could this be like a legal maneuver for patent purposes? However, patent purposes. However, no. No and no. When you drill down on this, that's really, it's even more than a bait and switch. That is, well, that's an outright lie. Okay.
It's an outright lie. It is not the same vaccine. No. It is different. It is differently patented. And what the ingredients in Comirnaty, we don't even know. They just approved a shot that's never even been tested before that we've seen any testing on. That's the bizarre part. This is something that has never happened in FDA history, where the FDA goes out and they approve a shot that isn't even out on the market and say it's identical to a shot that's already on the market that only has emergency use, but they're both interchangeable. They're both exactly the same, but they're not exactly the same. Right. This has never happened. This is why it's so bizarre. When I first heard it and I started reading it, I was so confused. And I said, wait, this doesn't make sense. From a business standpoint, why would you change this? Why wouldn't you just say, okay, we've approved the one we're currently using. It's no longer emergency use. It's totally fully approved now. Why would you go in and approve a new shot that doesn't even exist on the market yet when a shot that's already on the market is being rolled out in refrigerators and injected? The only thing that comes to me, the mind that I'm seeing, is the FDA wants to have a buffer in saying, okay, all these initial horrific side effects that start hitting the market, which we're seeing now with the VAERS, they're going to say, well, listen, this is an emergency use injection. You knew it was emergency use when it came out. You chose to get an injection and you consented and signed the paperwork. This is an emergency use authorized injection. So really, there is no liability that falls back on the FDA or Pfizer because you knowingly consented to getting injected with an emergency used experimental shot that had not been tested. So what they're doing is now I think they're putting a buffer room to Comirnaty and whatever's in that next one. And now they're saying this one is not experimental. It's not emergency authorized. It's fully approved. So then they can come back in when that one rolls out and say, this is a fully approved one now. Now you need to take it. Sorry about the first one. That was only emergency use. You should trust us now. Because there's nothing else that really makes sense of this, Doug, why they would do this unbelievably shady tactic. And especially from a business point, it really doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. However, the liability issue under EUA, the liability issue, well, there is no liability issue under.
No, there is no liability.
So that's the only reason it would make sense. Otherwise, why not put the FDA approved, jab juice in there? So that's something people need to really consider. Okay, good, good. And by the way, Pfizer, just to give you an idea, folks, Pfizer in 2019, the company retained 77 lobbyists before the total grew to a team of 102 in 2020. And we're talking about, in 2019, the company spent 11, million? Okay, on lobbying efforts before increasing the total to nearly 13.1 million. And that's the highest in a decade, over a decade. And you know what? The number of hires, number of people from the administrations, plural, throughout Republican or Democrat, to Pfizer. And I've got a list right here just over the last several months here. Pfizer, let's see, there's one through, so it's four pages. There's 74 people on both sides of the aisle going from positions of leadership, whether it be in the executive or congressional or legislative branch to, or congressional branch to Pfizer. 74 people. That's incredible. It's incredible.
That shows you how they've gotten so far and compromised so much. The lobbying money, it's just bribe money in a different word. They make sure that these guys are pushing this. That's why Newsom's doing what he's doing. Canada's doing what they're doing. And the fact of the matter is, this isn't even a question. Human rights, constitutional rights, give us protection and make sure we have to consent to a government. It's a government by the people. If the people don't want an injection, then they don't get an injection. This whole militarization of OSHA now to basically come out with this emergency use, I was reading about that today, and it's interesting. OSHA has not even done what they're doing right now since 1986, and it generally has to be done with a new, highly deadly hazard in the workplace. And so what they're using now is this old clause, this precedent that they did in 1986 to come in now. And OSHA is going to be the spearhead of going in and finding companies that don't mandate a shot. This has never been done before because OSHA does not handle usually experimental, unauthorized vaccines that for emergency use only. This is completely new waters. And so what's happened is the administration is not really signing an executive order on this, from what I've seen. They're directing OSHA to be the spearhead to start finding businesses, 100 employees or more, that haven't mandated the shot. It's exactly what happened with ATF, with Jeff Sessions and Trump. Trump told Sessions, figure it out, tell the ATF they basically have a green light. They're hot. They can do whatever they want and making sure bump fire stocks are banned. Damn legal action. Don't go to courts. Don't go to Congress. Don't do anything. ATF can actually go in now and rewrite 1934 NFA law, and we're giving them permission to do so under any circumstances to ban bump fire stocks. Bump fire stocks had been on numerous occasions reviewed, I think, 3 or 4 times by the ATF. The ATF said there is nothing about this. It's a machine gun. It's a sliding stock. Does not change the trigger performance. Does not change from one pull of the trigger for one shot. Nothing about this changed. It's completely legal. Then they went back in and said, oh, and Trump said we could change our mind. So now it's a machine gun. And if you have one, you can't even register it. You have to discard it, throw it away, or hand it to an ATF agent. And if you get caught with it, it's a felony because, well, because we said so. There's no legal precedent. It doesn't matter what it is. We said it's a machine gun, so it's a machine gun. Now we arrest you if you have it.
Well, don't get caught with it. I'm sorry. Yeah, just don't get caught with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is what OSHA's doing now. OSHA's saying, well, we know we can't mandate a vaccine in the workplace, but we're going to mandate a vaccine in the workplace and fine you if you don't get it, even though we actually can't mandate a vaccine in the workplace. The same thing the CDC did with the cruise industry. The CDC said cruises have to halt. You can't cruise anywhere now. Cruise industry would said, what? The CDC is not an enforcement agency. Okay. Well, we've watched this now repeatedly over the last couple of years of the alphabet agencies taking way past out of their scope of what they're allowed to do legally and pretty much doing just carte blanche whatever they want. And this is the problem that you have. And this is why I said under no circumstances, under no conditions whatsoever, can we at all surrender, register, turn in, or show our guns for any purposes whatsoever. The only reason you need to be pulling your firearm is to use it to defend your life. That's it. You don't need to display it. You don't need to talk about it. You don't need to register it. None of it. If we ever allow, and that's what they're going to be pushing next, I promise you on this, if we ever allow one of these alphabet agencies like ATF to come in and start dictating what guns we can and can't have from a standard basis, they already did this with machine guns, they already did this with short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, they've already done this enough. If they start coming in and saying, well, your AR-15 has a brace on it that we don't like, or you have a grip on it, you have a a scope on it, that's where this is going to go. They opened the door with bump fire stocks. It set the precedent. That's why no circumstance can we do this. It's ironic. They want to talk about gun violence and bumbling buffoon Joe gets on there and reads his giant screen. Now I found out he didn't even read teleprompters anymore. They built a whole off-site for him so he can basically have like an 80-inch television right in front of him and he can read it because he can't read teleprompters anymore. They actually brought that up on Yahoo News. Yeah. They called it the Truman Show presidency now. They call it the Truman Show presidency. Everything's theater with him. 100%. Nothing is legitimate. They walk him up. They're like Weekend at Bernie's. They prop him up. They go, hey, we've got the 80-inch screen on. There's a camera right in front of it. Just read the screen. Don't ask questions. Don't say anything else and walk away when you're done with it. It's literally what they're doing right now. At the same time, I haven't heard one single incident about the Arlington school shooter who's 18 years old, who goes to school with a gun in his backpack, who gets in an altercation with a 15-year-old, pulls out the pistol, shoots the 15-year-old 8 times, shoots the teacher, and shoots another girl that's running away. He's arrested and only charged with attempted assault with a deadly weapon. Has a $75,000 bail bondsman post the same day, and he's out of jail in 24 hours, and his family's showing all these videos on Instagram about how they're having a party at their house, and he's out of jail already. What are we living in, like, clown world here? We have an 18-year-old black male that brings a gun to school and shoots 3 people, and everybody goes, he was getting bullied. It's fine. It's not a big deal. He was getting bullied. You can't be getting bullied at school. It's totally cool. And I'm going, what would have happened if a white kid came to school that was 18 and shot a 15-year-old black boy and a black teacher and a black girl that was running away from him? Oh, that's right. Kyle Rittenhouse did that, except he was shooting convicted felons with firearms that were committing arson and breaking into buildings. And he shot 3 individuals, I think 2 of them which were convicted felons. One of them had a firearms convicted felon and pulled the gun on him. He was charged with attempted first-degree murder and attempted manslaughter, had a $2 million bail that he couldn't cover the spread on, and no attorney would even cover him and represent him. Oh, that's right. That already did happen. And everybody blasted on national television. I can't believe he was out there. I can't believe he was out there getting involved. These guys, they were just felons with guns. They were trying to break into buildings and burn them down. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal, guys. Kyle should have never had a gun out there. But then an 18-year-old brings a pistol to school and gets an altercation with another kid, shoots him 8 times, shoots a teacher, shoots another girl, and it was, well, He was getting bullied, guys. It's not a big deal. It was attempted, aggravated assault. You know, I mean, what are we talking about here?
I mean, I was following this on one of the front door of the internet, as they claim, Reddit, and it's a representation, in my view, of people, cross section of people all over the world.
Yeah.
And, so here's, just imagine if this was under a different, a Republican, a conservative administration, what would happen? But see, I think we're asking the wrong questions on here to an extent about this, because so we have to ask why. I think, why was he released? Okay, given, was it how can I form this coherently? Was it because he was being bullied? And it was. I mean, you've got video of the incident. Was it because he's black? Was it because there's something else? And the something else could be, bring some sunlight into, the danger of firearms, for example. Or, the disparity in the legal system. But this is dividing. This alone, this one incident alone, I was surprised how much this is dividing America even further. Just by watching people's reaction. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. People's reactions are going to different parts of this whole, people would say, it's either right or wrong, but no, there's shades of gray here, and it's really impacting how people are thinking and talking and interacting with one another, this incident right here alone. So, yes, you're right.
I think, Doug, you nailed it on the head. I think the judge, I think the prosecuting attorney, I think the whole situation, I personally think they probably had an extremely quick meeting on this, and they figured, okay, how can we go in and make this incident as dramatic as possible and hack off and divide as many Americans? We know the majority of what we see is theater. And they did an incredibly good job at it. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They don't even mention the fact this kid is 18. He's an adult. He's not a minor. He's an adult. He shot a minor 8 times. He also shot a teacher as an adult, not a minor. That's what nobody's even questioning. This is an adult male shooting a minor on school premises. There are so many felony charges on this, you can't even count them all. But yet he's charged with aggravated assault. I mean, are you joking me? And so I think you're exactly right. I think this is being done intentionally to throw a giant jug of gasoline on the fire right now and cause as much dissension, as much distraction, as much anger, because people are going, dude, we legitimately have two legal systems now. We've clearly been shown that all the way from Hillary Clinton and Epstein and that whole group. And now we're seeing the same thing, where pretty much if it fits their narrative, they're going to let you run. We saw the same thing with Antifa. The Antifa guys in Portland, they're getting blatantly arrested for battery on law enforcement, for arson, for destruction of private property. Prosecuting attorney wouldn't even prosecute them, drop the charges on them. Bizarre. But then you have people that were walking on the Capitol grounds, never even went into the Capitol building, and they've had their door kicked in. Just happened last week with a retired Green Beret down here in Florida.
Yep.
Went to the Capitol building. Never went in, walked around the Capitol grounds. They just kicked in his door with 20 FBI agents and arrested him. Ready for the kicker? Misdemeanor trespassing 9 months ago.
Yeah. Folks, please understand, this is not, this is only, and as I'm sorry to say this, this is only the beginning.
Yeah.
Unless we stop this, and the American people, with a brain, this is not going to work out well. Just about the disparity in the shooting, and you gave several examples. You know, what really hit me, kind of an example of this. For example, Hunter Biden's art. He just sold 5 pieces. At Los Angeles for $75,000. Okay. Folks, it's not about the art. It's not about the art. It's about money laundering. Okay. Everything that we see, it's not about what you're seeing. It's about the underlying, problems. Again, Hunter Biden's art, $75,000, five pieces. Oh boy, he must be a grab. I mean, he's the new Picasso. It's not about the art. It's about money laundering. And it's about influence buying as well. But so it's never about what you see or what you think you know. It's about something underneath that. So thank you. Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly, and I don't know if it's, I thought it was 75 per piece. I thought it was even more than that. Maybe it's
oh, 75 each. I'm sorry. Yes. 75
each. Yeah, it was like over $400,000. There's like some bogus finger painting he does where he like, you know, he just gets on crack and rubs his fingers all over with paint. They're like, oh, this is the new Picasso, like you said. No, it's very clear what they're doing with it. I mean, you can't make up any better textbook money laundering. Art has always been used for decades for money laundering and black market sales because you could just put a number on it. Doesn't matter. It's objective. Okay, this piece is worth $5 million. I'm going to give you this art for $5 million. Oh, and then I'm going to buy some, you know, basically inventory from your company after you buy this art from me for $5 million. Dude, it's a washing machine. They're washing cash. You can see them do it from a mile away. It's not hard to figure out. But then they want to send the IRS up our butts and say, you had a transaction for $650 real quick here. We need to go ahead and audit this. We need to find out exactly why you spent $650 on this and why it went here, because this is a discrepancy. This wasn't filed on your taxes. You may owe back taxes and, you know, penalties on this right now. This is $650. This is a big deal.
Man, I'll tell you what, they can look all day long on my end. I don't know about you, but, you know. Are they doing that now? Has that been officially?
It has not been officially gone into law yet. I think what the whole aspect of it is, they need to get this infrastructure bill in place. If you look at the infrastructure bill, there's like $100-something billion, I think, or some ridiculous number that goes to IRS to hire another 120,000 IRS employees for audits. And so the only way, even with algorithms, the only way you can monitor 330 million people's bank accounts in real time, which, by the way, it's grossly illegal. That's one of the issues they're running into right now with it, is the legal system has already picked this up. And I mean, especially when it comes to the Fourth Amendment, like, you can't just go in, even though we already know they monitor it, they already spy on everything. They don't actually spy on it. They just say they don't spy on it. Well, they spy on it. Well, they don't even want to try to pretend they're spying on it. They just want to flat out say, no, we're going to look at everything. Every statement, every transaction, every credit card fee, every cash purchase, everything we can physically get our hands on, we're going to monitor 24/7, 365. Then, that way, when you file taxes, we can pretty much undoubtedly 100% figure out a way to bust you on an audit, because there's no physical way you're going to have every single T cross and every die audit unless you spend thousands of dollars to file your taxes every year, especially if you're like a business or something like us, where you have tons of inventory coming in, tons of inventory coming out, all kinds of different charges and payments on a regular basis. Then they can come in as well. Remember, they can say, oh, this guy, Mr. John Smith, he ordered 5 firearms this year. Oh, you see this? He bought 2,000 rounds of ammunition. He's getting audited. Yeah. This guy right here, he actually donated to a Republican in Florida. And him right here, he's been buying vitamins. Oh, definitely flag him. He's getting audited. We're going to flag him too. This is what they're going to do. They're spooling up to bring in a full-blown tyrannical government. That you think right now it's bad, it gets way worse if this goes on. This is going to be North Korea on steroids. You're not going to be able to watch, look, listen, spin, do anything without being monitored on a regular basis. Look at what they're already doing with these shots. My buddy sent me a screenshot yesterday from a text message. He got a random phone number that texted him up and said, hey, and his name, we've been trying to contact you. We have a safe, effective vaccine completely for free, ready for you right now. Have you been vaccinated yet? Literally, that's a text message. I had another friend that got the same thing. They're literally getting phone numbers now. Don't know where they're collecting this data from, these phone numbers. And they're sending them to people and stating, you know, we see you haven't got your vaccine yet. Are you ready to get vaccinated now? Respond back to us and let us know. This is the most bizarre campaign I've ever seen in my life, Doug. And if anything should show people to question the narrative, it's the way they've been acting. The very fact that they're this pushy and this mandating with something that's experimental should make everybody question ever getting the shot under any circumstances.
You know, if people thought this was about health, it's not about health. It's about control.
No.
It's about centralization. You're going to see this. And I think, Austin, you've been following pretty much the same things I've been following. You're going to see supply shortages just unfold this, well, starting now. The system is broken. I mean, it's just incredible. So let me ask this. What comes, I'm going to ask the obvious here. How do we, who are awake, how do we best fight this? Because civil disobedience is one thing. And I think that that works. If you study the period from 1765 to 1775, it worked. It's not just, but how do we fight this? Because I don't want to have to shoot somebody who comes to my door saying that they're going to, give me a shot. I don't want to do that. So how can I avoid that ahead of time? How can we as Americans avoid violence?
One of the biggest things, and I've said it over and over and over again, I've been trying to get people to actually, listen. A lot of people are now, I think, to some extent. The first aspect of civil disobedience is not complying. The only way this progresses and goes further is through compliance. The longer that people keep taking a step back and saying, hey, listen, I'm going to get the shot just this time, though, so I can go do this. Well, that's it. If you haven't realized anything with the goalpost movement over the last 18 months, it's the fact that the goalposts are never in range. The carrot's always out in front of you. You never get the carrot. It was the same thing last year. It was wear a lockdown, stay in your business. You're not essential. Then wear a mask. Then you can't go here. You can't go there. Social distancing, 666. You can only have 25%. The same thing. And then once they get the shot out, it's been the same thing. The biggest thing you can do is get with like-minded people in the organization, in the business, in the areas you're going to, and say, hey, listen, we're getting medical exemptions. We're getting religious exemptions. We're all getting together. We're not going to comply with this. And you start having huge pockets of individuals. In New York, they try to make an example out of everybody. The whole reason they did that in New York, even though the governor doesn't really even have the legal precedent to go in and start firing healthcare workers that are licensed, trained on these facility grounds and replace them with National Guard members, which that's so far-fetched to me. That right there shows you this is nothing even near a real pandemic. You're taking licensed, trained, competent individuals that work in these hospitals and have for years on end, and you've now fired them because they're completely healthy, and replacing them with individuals who have no idea about the area. Yeah, that right there should show you this is nothing about health or safety. It's all about compliance. Well, the more you start seeing people do that, the bigger the groups are going to get, and the bigger everybody's going to start standing up. And now we're starting to see in a lot of these free states, like down here in Texas and Florida, we're becoming more and more belligerent. Most places down here, I mean, they don't really bug you about anything anymore. A lot of places now, I've always mentioned this repeatedly, if you're in some of these states, it's time to start looking at an exit strategy. The Civil War is upon us. It is the beginning phases. A lot of people talk about prior history. There's very few times in history where one morning you wake up and everything is absolutely perfect perfection, and the next day you wake up and you're in a full-blown gunfight shooting war. It doesn't usually happen like that. It's a progressive failure of things to get worse and worse and worse until all else completely breaks loose. Then it goes completely sideways. We're in that beginning phase right now where everything's starting to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you can see the catalyst is going to start coming down to this injection when they start getting more and more and more serious about it, especially like within California. They're going to inject children now to go to school. Kidding me? It's not even tested. You're telling me it's okay to inject in my children and you tell me I have to? This should be a giant red flag for everybody in California. The resistance must strengthen. Civil disobedience must occur. No compliance can be accepted under any circumstance if we expect to keep this from going to a full-blown all-out war. And that's going to be horrific, man. Nobody wants that. We shouldn't have to have that. No. We shouldn't have to go that to maintain a republic right now over an experimental injection. How pathetic is America if that's what happens to us?
Yeah, and I look at Australia as kind of the, the barometric for the world, the Western world. And Canada, too, which has kind of gone full-blown. Just crazy. So, very, very good. Austin Brower, by the way, healthmasters.com. Folks, please go to healthmasters.com right now. As we near the end of this segment, right now, go to healthmasters.com. Open up another browser, whatever you might want to do, but just go there. And folks, do me a favor. I jokingly say, I can't afford to lose any more viewers or listeners. I mean, beyond the six or seven I've got now. I'm kidding, but there it is right there. The best stuff on the planet, in my view, healthmasters.com, and shop. And do me a favor. Put away the coffee money. You know, put that aside, you know, for your $5 cups of coffee or your whatever. Just repurpose the money toward getting healthy or staying healthy, boosting your immune system. I can't tell you how much this means to me. You know, I watch, by the way, Steve Quayle is improving, okay, is improving. Russ Dizdar was down with the flu, normal flu, I guess, or had an issue, you know, feeling kind of bad, but he's up and around, so that's a good thing. But see, we need to really get healthy and stay healthy with Health Masters. Healthmasters.com. And no, vitamin D does not cure or prevent COVID, okay? I'm just saying. And we addressed that earlier. But it is important for strengthening your immune system. Healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Please do that today for me. And, hey, let them know you heard it on the Hagman Report. That way they know, you know? So, and do that. All right. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I'll go ahead and I'll activate the Doug 5 coupon for over the weekend, Doug, for all the listeners. They can have that on there. And you know, kind of a secondary offset of your question, another thing we can do to really be ready for this is be self-sufficient and prepared. Have our immune system strong, like you said. A healthy populace is a strong populace. A strong populace is a non-submissive populace. When you have a populace that's strong and healthy, they're not going to comply because they don't need to comply. The same thing as being self-sufficient and being prepared. If you got stacked up food buckets, if you have some MREs, if you got canned food, if you got beans and rice, whatever your preference is, I like to have various of it. That's why I encourage people to get the meat buckets before they go up or the organic food buckets and have canned foods, have backup stuff. If you have supplies, that takes you another step out of the equation where they can't control you, because now you don't have to go to the store if something goes sideways. You don't have to leave. You can get your preps in your neighborhood and you can have everything situated with your friends and family and solidify a certain area and have a pocket of resistance. The same thing with having access to clean water, water filtration, or backup water jugs. This is all really important things that everybody has to start doing, because America has gotten lazy, so lazy. People don't want to do anything anymore. They want to stop at McDonald's, get their fast food, go home, watch their Netflix, pass out, get up in the morning, do the same thing over again. Like you said, spend your money. I talked to a buddy of mine at the barbershop the other day. He was asking me how he can lose some weight. I said, well, what do you eat for breakfast? He said, well, I stop at Chick-fil-A every morning. Every morning. I said, every morning. He goes, every morning on the way to work. I stop at Chick-fil-A and I get one of their sandwiches. It's how much money you spend. So I spent like $9. I said, $9. I said, man, I can cut that in half for you with a good breakfast. I said, start off with two whole eggs, a banana, and a protein shake. I said, that won't cost you more than $5 to $6. And I said, that'll get your morning great. You'll feel good. Your blood sugar will be stabilized. You'll stop giving money to Chick-fil-A, and you basically will become much healthier, and I promise you, you'll lose weight. I said, that meal right there in and of itself will have a huge impact every single day. Now, is it wrong to go out and get fast food occasionally? It's not something I'm going to do. Not something I recommend. But no, it is what it is occasionally. But eating that stuff every day, putting that toxin in your body. Chick-fil-A, as much as I love the original organization, they're not the same company they were anymore. They put MSG in everything. A lot of stuff is completely and totally compromised. Their milkshakes have Red 40 food coloring in them. Their chocolate milkshakes. Don't understand that one, why they put Red 40 food coloring in chocolate milkshakes. And so, again, don't think that because it's Chick-fil-A, it's somehow healthy. It's not. Just be aware of that. I'm not blasting them. Taco Bell and McDonald's are probably much worse. I know they're much worse. But it's not one of those things where I'm eating Chick-fil-A every morning for breakfast, so I'm eating healthy. No, you're not. Don't delude yourself into thinking that.
Yeah, you're right when you said it's not the same organization anymore. We only have, let's see, about 2 minutes left. So your closing thoughts on things in the final 2 minutes.
I think the biggest thing that I can come up with right now is resist everything that you know not to be true. If you have a conviction, I said this on the show for the last year and a half. That's why I've been so adamant about masks. I still won't wear masks. And people still sometimes say stuff to me about it. Not, they're like, why are you so adamant about masks? I said, masks got us in this situation right now. I said, there was no effective reasoning for masks. Yes, at the very beginning, everybody got played. Everybody got told you to wear masks for your protection. As soon as the research came out, everybody should have ripped their mask off and said, dude, I'm done. This is stupid. I'm not wearing this crap anymore. The one I put a diaper on my face doesn't work at all. But yet still to this day, there are mask mandates all across the country. Still to this day in Florida, I see people riding around in their cars with masks on. I promise you, the virus is the least of your problems in Florida. We had a biker shootout on I-4 at midnight the other night, right? 5 miles down the road from my house. They're in the middle of I-4. They start shooting at each other. Ironically enough, two bikers were shot. The biker that shot the two other individuals, guess what he got charged with? Attempted first-degree murder and attempted manslaughter. He didn't get aggravated assault.
Yeah, there it is, the dual justice system in action. Yeah. And thank you. Awesome, brother. Thank you so much. And, folks, thank you for being patient. Understand that this will be the program for tonight in its entirety, and we'll play throughout the weekend. Of course, Monday we're off taking care of some business. Hey, the 161 arrests, yeah, couple, you know, a little bit. So thank you for understanding. Austin, God bless you. Have a great night.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday. Eric the Tech, it's Friday, isn't it? Tell me it's Friday. It doesn't matter, though, does it?
Nope, doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything, but it's Friday to those people who work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. It's Friday. It's Friday night. Oh, boy. And this program is this segment is the show, all right, because we had to do some things earlier, and we have to do some things afterwards that relate to investigations that we're active in, because this is not just the chair force, this is the actual ground force as well. And we may be even addressing a little bit about that today. I'm not sure. Austin Brower is, of course, a Friday staple, and he is just a fountain of information, and he doesn't miss anything. So with that, I want to bring Austin Brower on. Oh, by the way, Monday. So let me just say this. If you see the headlines, or if you've seen the headlines, okay, you'll see that we are making ground progress in certain matters of, distasteful topics such as human trafficking and such. Okay, so Monday, we are going to be working in the field from really dawn to dusk and beyond. So just kind of a heads up there. I'm going to be trying to do some shots from my office, updates from my office. But having said that, this show will be aired as well as a segment on Monday. So just thank you very much for your support and for your understanding. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, folks. I can't tell you how important this is. I feel great. You know, the people around me, some have gotten sick, some have gotten really sick. I'm talking about not alternative media, but domestically here. And the difference between me and them, even though I'm exposed to stuff, is Health Masters. I take it. Eric the Tech takes it. Our whole family takes Health Masters. Go to healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. It's right there up on your screen, unless you're driving and not watching this. Healthmasters.com. And look, folks, you get what you pay for, and you get what – I'm going to tell you something, all right? I've had in my years, I've taken stuff from, you know, CVS or Rite Aid or Walmart or whatever the case might be, and I've taken stuff from MLM companies. I've taken – just you name it. I've just taken it. But nothing has made me feel better and given me the immune system boost than Health Masters. And one of the product of the week, zinc. Oh, man. Hey, guys, you need to take zinc. And I'm not going to tell you why. Do I have to tell you why? I'm just not going to tell you why. All right. So anyway, go to healthmasters.com. And while you're there, while you're shopping, tune in, drop in on their show. Go to the upper right-hand corner, and there you'll see the Ted and Austin Brower Show, premier father-son investigative podcast on the internet today and on Global Star Satellite Radio. There it is right there, Monday through Friday. You see that? It's right there on the right. Click the button. Listen to them. A lot of great informational downloads. All right, with that, Austin Brower. Austin, come on in. Let's talk.
Doug, great to be on the show as always, my friend. It's always a pleasure. And yeah, the product of the week, the zinc, really, really good for the immune system. That's why it's coupled in the kit with the vitamin C, the D3, and the zinc. And something that I wanted to address real quick, because I've been getting a lot of phone calls. Steve's been getting phone calls. I've been getting emails. There's some either email or document or something somewhere that's been circulating now where people have been calling up and they're saying that they're being told that if they take D3, it's impossible for them to contract COVID. Now, I've never said that. I've never implied that. Neither has Ted. That's actually not factual. D3, however, is very important. And I think what's happened is a new research study got published last month in September, and people are getting confused on what it's actually saying. Granted, it's very, very positive about D3, and it actually encourages D3 usage, but there's no one single element that's ever going to be a 100% prevents you from getting a virus. And the article, the research study is called Relevance of Vitamin D3 in COVID-19 Infection. It actually has 127 clinical references, and it went into detail, and it said a rigorous research and potential risk factors have highlighted important contributors to the disease spread, which may include age, obesity, diabetes, ethnicity, and potentially other possible risks, including insufficient vitamin D levels. This can be contributed to the fact that vitamin D plays a pivotal role in the dissemination of immune functions. The function of D3 can prove advantageous in warning about the consequences of the COVID-19 disease. And when it goes into the conclusion, it says in the available clinical data, it's still in its infancy. However, a large number of recent manuscripts do support the notion that vitamin D deficiency is related to COVID-19 disease. At the time of writing this article, clinical trials have already been conducted and many more underway linking the impact of vitamin D levels in patients with COVID-19. So until we find something conclusive, it would not be an exaggeration if we state that maintaining balanced levels of vitamin D is highly recommended considering its diverse benefits in our system. That 121 clinical references, really good research study. It's on our website. And so that's what I think a lot of people are reading, and they're saying, oh, if I take it, I can't get it. No, what the research is clearly showing is individuals that have high, healthy levels of vitamin D in most cases have a much, much lower side effect if they catch COVID. And in a lot of cases, it can help prevent any type of severe side effects, including those that may take you to the hospital. That's the research that they're finding. So I just wanted to encourage everybody, yes, making sure D3 levels are adequate and high in your body on a regular basis, because the thing about it is it has to be consistent before you get exposed to the virus. A lot of times people want to wait the last minute and they get sick or they get a real bad viral infection from COVID, and then all of a sudden they want to start stacking products. That still works good, but it's not nearly as effective in staying tapped off on this stuff on a regular basis and trying to stay as healthy as you can and before you ever get exposed to something. So I just wanted to put that information out there and clarify that, Doug.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, anyone who is saying, well, you know, you take D3, that's a magic bullet. No. And you're right. And I appreciate that clarification, because people will start saying, well, wait a minute. You know, this is contributes to the misinformation. So, but yeah. I will say that when I spoke to a couple of physicians, I can tell you two in particular have said that they're, when they did a complete metabolic panel or whatever you call that blood test, they did test the vitamin D levels, and the people that had gotten sick were deficient in vitamin D. Now, is that, you know, causation, correlation? I don't know, but it certainly is one thing to consider. But bottom line is, look, take your nutritional supplements. They're natural. They're all natural, and it can't
hurt. It's all about boosting your system.
There it is.
That's it.
There it is.
Well, and that's what I tell a lot of people is, you know, this is a very, very cheap, easy preventative measure you can do on a regular basis with pretty much no known side effects. You know, healthy doses of D3, vitamin C, and zinc have no significant side effects. They're products that I've used for the last two decades. And so when you start looking at, okay, which is better, to make my immune system strong naturally or to go get RNA gene therapy? You know, it was disturbing to me yesterday, if you saw, the Pfizer now has basically demanded essentially what they do, because Pfizer and the FDA are pretty much neck and neck. When Scott Gottlieb, he's made sure he's bounced back and forth so many times, there's not even a line between the company and the federal, you know, basically the FDA now, the federal line on that. And so what's happened is now they're demanding that the emergency use authorization of the COVID injection be available for children as young as 5 years old now. Now, what's grossly disturbing about that is I actually looked at the numbers. It said that it would broaden their market in the U.S. to another 20 8 million people, which if you do the math, which is roughly around $35 to $40 for an injection, I think, from Pfizer, that means they're going to generate another $1.1 billion just from a first round of injections into 5 to 12-year-olds. And what's interesting about this, if you look at the Health Impact News, they did an article about 2 weeks ago, and it showed that teens now are 50 times more likely to develop heart disease after a COVID injection than all other FDA-approved injections. As you see on the VAERS report, if you report from ages 12 through 19, there have been 31 deaths, 181 permanent disabilities, 3,679 ER visits, 1,655 hospitalizations, 331 life-threatening events, and 748 reports of heart inflammation, including myocarditis. That's just this year, or from December to current date on the VAERS report. Those numbers are huge. Now, if you take the same VAERS report and look up all 76 of the currently approved vaccines, and saying 76 from ages 12 to 19 in the same time period from December to current date, this is 76 different injections. You have 4 deaths, 12 permanent disabilities, 36 hospitalizations, 14 life-threatening, 15 cases of myocarditis. That's with 76 different injections over the period of a year. So it's literally 50 times more likely, according to VAERS, that these young children are going to develop essentially heart disease, what myocarditis most likely turns into later on, especially if it's not checked. And they're saying now they want to inject this into 5-year-olds. And what's interesting enough about this, another article came out from Dr. Nathan Thompson. And it's kind of an independent small study, but it shows you, it's just a one singular event, but it shows you in a very controlled setting what this is doing to the immune system when it's injected. Take away the weird stuff that we're talking about that's in it, the graphene oxide, the side effects. Just take that all the way to the side and shelve that for a second. The independent study conducted by an Illinois physician, Dr. Nathan Thompson, shows how the COVID injection suppresses the body's actual immune system, leaving vaccinated individuals much more susceptible to illnesses, which could explain the phenomenon of breakthrough infections among the vaccinated. So Thompson described he received permission from a healthy patient to run immune system blood panels before the jab, after his first jab, and after the second jab. So he ran panels on the patient. The patient got the first injection, he ran panels again. The patient got the second injection, he ran panels again. So he said, you see everything's doing well. He's got slides of it up, Thompson says, reviewing the patient's pre-jab panel. However, on the second panel after the first injection, he said, what's interesting here, you start seeing the CD8 cells jump through the roof, which is a suppressor T cell, also known as a killer T cell. And what do? They have a sniper-specific cell that's designed to kill virally infected cells. So they're going up through the roof as basically they have this outside foreign body. Well, the RNA injection is not supposed to do that. The RNA injection is supposed to tell your body essentially to start producing spike proteins so you can have a response to it. But what he's seeing here is that there's a significant outside impact, not just an RNA setup. He said the second injection is what really gets weird. He said on the third panel administered after the patient's second jab, it showed an even more startling development. The patient's adaptive immune system now had completely tanked, like it had been overrun. He said the granny sites jumped up. He said they're mostly for bacterial infection and cleaning up tissue damage, and they went through the roof. You can see how badly now it started to tank here in this slide. What's interesting, too, is you can see the natural killer cells have absolutely tanked as well. The result is lowered immunity all across the board for the patient, which would leave a person susceptible to any infection, including cancer cells. His adaptive immune system is absolutely tanked. Immune system, CD4, CD8, natural killer cells, lymphocytes, all of those have literally pummeled to the floor within a month after the second injection, which we explain. The only thing that did this was the injection. The patient was extremely healthy, exercised, ate clean, was on no medications, and basically had a pretty controlled test panel to look at this. So what we're seeing now here is that this injection is not at all preventing COVID under any circumstances. It's not even reducing symptoms from COVID under any circumstances. It's literally overwhelming the immune system to the point that the immune system literally gets almost shock therapy and completely downregulates and pummels is what he's talking about. The next thing he talks about later on, I didn't bring this up, is he said what's going to happen when this individual is exposed to another extremely aggressive virus. He said it's very likely the individual's immune system is going to shut down and the body's going to be overwhelmed. This makes sense on why we're seeing so many vaccinated individuals having breakthrough cases, like they keep saying, and going to the hospital, being put on ventilators, put on remdesivir, and then checking out the next couple days. So again, this is just something we're starting to see over what? A 9-10 month period of this injection really being out on the market, and now the FDA wants to start injecting this to 5-year-old kids. They think that's okay. This is so important. Listen to me, parents, right now. You are responsible for your children. If you do this to your kids and they have some severe side effect, which is very likely, you alone are going to have to answer. Not only to them, you're going to have to answer to God Almighty on this. When you knowingly inject your child with experimental gene therapy that has been very clear now how unbelievably toxic and dangerous this shot is, you are responsible for them and you're responsible for answering to them on that. So you need to be really clear and think about these things before you start running around and letting these quack doctors in some cases inject these young children with gene therapy that has never been long-term tested on anything other than ferrets and cats, and both of those animal studies, almost every animal subject died. That should give you a strong enough answer right there, Doug.
Wow. Okay, I know there are people listening that have received this injection, whether you are, you the listener who has received this, under duress or regardless of why, to those people who want to mitigate the either perceived or actual, or potential or real damage to the immune system. Is there anything, it's never too late in my view to start taking nutritional supplements, but is there anything to your knowledge that could be done to mitigate the toxic effects of this black goo, whatever, this goo that they're putting into us?
To a far extent, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I do know the fact that there's certain products like N-acetylcysteine that we carry that are glutathione precursors, and products like GHI Cleanse, which can very well help detoxify the body. I know chelation therapy that we carry with EDTA, it can help pull out heavy metals out of the body. Those kind of options right there with a few of those products may work to an extent. The problem with this is the same thing I've been saying and screaming from the rooftops the entire time. Nobody knows what this is going to do long term. Most vaccines at the bare minimum have 4 to 5 years of human trials on them. This is unprecedented on every level of medical and scientific field that we've ever seen over the last 100 years. And, we made mistakes in science and in history back in the early 1900s with a lot of this stuff. And it's like we're now making one of the worst mistakes we've ever made in history with an experimental injection. And we have no idea what this is going to do a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road. Heck, we're like, hey, guess what? Booster shot now. We don't even know what the side effects of the first one are going to be. Go ahead and get a booster shot now 6 months later because the shot doesn't work. That in and of itself right there should make you question everything. I've encouraged everybody I know, do not under any circumstances get this shot. I don't care if you're coerced. I don't care if you're blackmailed. I don't care if they try to threaten to fire you. You get a medical exemption or you get a religious exemption and you fight on this. At any point in time that the United States caves in and we start blindly accepting injections, especially experimental injections, just, oh, they're safe and effective, come here and take them. Why in any circumstances would we believe anything Pfizer has to say? Pfizer has had the largest criminal fines in U.S. history repeatedly. They are not a good company. They're not an honest company. And we've seen that now with Project Veritas, with the scientists that basically are on record, on videotape, talking about that if you got natural immunity, it's much better than the COVID injection. The one I'm saying, dude, we're basically, I work for an evil company. We function off COVID money now. That's our bread and butter is COVID money. Everything's about the COVID injection and getting more injections out there. They're on record saying this stuff. But yet so many people just bury their head in the sand and pump more mud on themselves and say, hey, I'm not hearing it. I'm not listening. Give me another shot so I'll be safe because it's for my protection. And we have to realize it's time Americans start asking questions. You have the right to ask questions. You have the right basically to dissent. You have the right to say, no, you don't want your children being taught critical race theory. I know you talked about it on the last show yesterday. I've been so flustered watching some of this now with the Department of Justice basically being used now as this militaristic force for the school boards. And what's ironic to me is the same thing I've questioned and the same thing basically Laura Bobart's been questioning. Where are all these cases of alleged threats and violent threats from domestic terrorists in the school board meetings? I've been in the school board meetings.
Oh, they got your number, brother. They got your number.
I'm on camera, facial recognition. They already know me. I made no threats. I made no life-threatening comments. I wasn't domestically violent. I didn't any of that. And majority of the videos I've seen are no different. Parents want to know what their kids are being taught, and they don't want them being taught critical race theory. Ironically enough, the Department of Justice, they talked about it. His son-in-law is right on the head of spearheading all the information for critical race theory and getting the contracts to sell them to the school boards. So you have this massive, massive conflict of interest. On top of it, you have the children being taught absolute horrific doctrine and principles now, being told to wear masks. Now they're saying in California, no kid's going to be able to go to school unless they have the COVID injection. The shot's not even emergency approved for children. But no matter, Newsom's buckling down now and turning into the great tyrant that he wants to be and basically stating you can't go to school for your kid if you don't get the injection. By golly, we don't know what it's going to do. We don't know if it's going to kill them. Doesn't matter. Kids got to get the shot, even though there's almost virtually no life-threatening cases with children contracting COVID if they don't have some serious health concern before they catch it. So, again, why are we allowing this? That's the million-dollar question. What are we going to keep doing? Are we going to keep complying? Are we going to keep sitting back and saying, hey, guess what? Where's my next booster shot? Where's my next check? Where's my next bailout? This is what they're getting people to do. And it was very clear last year once you started seeing the free money rolling in, what they were getting people used to doing. And that is begging and asking and surviving off the government. And that's a place that has no business as an American populace and a republic cannot survive that type of communism infiltration in this country, Doug.
You know, I can't help but think this is not going to end well. And I can see... Now, they're already talking about in Canada going actually door-to-door, depending on the province, inject people. I want to be careful here. I don't want to, you know, put fear out there, but that's what's being discussed. However, okay, my question is, if they try that here, what will the pushback be? Or will people just roll over and say, okay, I guess, you know, or my favorite, this isn't the hill to die on. No, we're not going to die on any hill. You make the other people die on the hill that they're trying to go after. But anyway, my question is, you know, at what point do Americans, which you asked, say, no, we're not going to do this? Because remember in 76, Gerald Ford, you know, that big, the swine flu, you know, he sat there and he got injected, with the swine flu vaccine and then 25 dead and 500 and some odd cases of neurological disorders later, they pulled it. They said, no.
Pulled it immediately. Yeah. Well, did you see the video with the health minister in Canada now talking about how all the way into 2024 now they've contracted for booster shots from Pfizer? Did you see that?
Yeah. Which corresponds with the FDA approval, which is a non-approval. It's a bait and switch. It won't be, I think it's 2024. It won't be available until 2024. So whatever the FDA approved in quotation marks, whatever jab juice they did, it won't be available in that time. So it's kind of an interesting correlation of dates there.
It's very much, and it's ironic to me that you have the health minister saying we've contracted Pfizer for 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 65 million booster doses a year. Well, they're telling everybody in Canada right now, this isn't going to stop. I had a listener email me and they capitulated. They said, you know, I capitulated a couple weeks ago and they said, I can't travel. I can't do anything without the shot right now. I think they're in Alberta. And they said it's gotten so bad. They said, I just went ahead and I went and got my first round of shots. And I entered my back and said, well, how are you feeling? They said, man, I'm just kind of tired. I said, I don't feel too bad. I just kind of feel more like just tired, not much energy. And I sent them the video in Canada with the health minister talking about 2022, 23, 24. And I said, you do understand this isn't going to stop, right? I said, I know you got the shot thinking it was going to solidify everything and you were going to be able to run around. And they responded back to me and basically said, oh, my gosh. They said, I just saw the same thing. They said, I don't even know what to do right now. And I said, no. I said, this doesn't stop until you make it stop. I said, they are going to inject you literally all the way to hell if you let them. They're going to shoot you up every single year, multiple times a year. And now they've got the vaccine passports in place. Doesn't matter. Now they got it rolled out. Now that everybody's starting to capitulate with them, in November, I think the beginning of November in California, they're doing the same thing now. They're going in and saying restaurants, schools, libraries, movie theaters, if you don't have a COVID passport, you're not doing anything in California. And now the LA County Sheriff has come out and said he is not going to enforce any type of vaccine mandate whatsoever, vaccine passport. He said, we're already short-staffed. We're already basically overworked. He said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it whatsoever. And in response to what you were talking about with the Pfizer injection is currently on the market, was not approved by the FDA. It's still emergency use. Comirnaty is the one that actually got approved by the FDA. Right. And they went ahead and they said Comirnaty and Pfizer are identical shots. They're identical shots. But Comirnaty is getting approved. It's not even out yet. And the current one out isn't approved. It's emergency use.
So are they identical shots?
No, they're not identical shots. They tell on themselves, and I'll read it to you right here. So this is what Pfizer says, and this is why you already know with Pfizer, do they lie through their teeth? They don't care about paying fines. If they can make $50 billion off an injection and they have to pay a $2 billion fine for killing people, they do an ROI cost-benefit analysis, and they go, we'll take the $50 billion and we'll pay the $2 billion because at the end of the day, we netted $48 billion and we killed 10,000 people and we don't give a rat's ass because we're Pfizer. They've done this repeatedly. They've got caught doing this. So this is what Pfizer said. In terms of its ingredients and how it's made, the vaccine being approved for those 16 years and older is no different than the vaccine already being administered to millions of Americans under the emergency use authorization. Well, my first question was, well, why didn't you just approve the one that's already approved under emergency use authorization?
There you go.
Why would you approve a whole new vaccine that's exactly the same? Why wouldn't you just slap a new label on it and say, hey, we're putting a new name on this vaccine that's approved? It's not. They're two different patents. They're two completely different vaccines, but they're telling everybody they're exactly the same. The footnote at the bottom of the fact sheet issued on August 23rd states, the licensed vaccine has the same formulation as the emergency use authorized vaccine, and the products can be used interchangeably to provide the vaccination series without presenting any safety or effectiveness concerns. However, the products are legally distinctly different from one another, with certain differences, however, that do not impact safety or effectiveness. So wait a minute. You're saying it's the exact same vaccine, and it's made the exact same way with the exact same ingredients, but they're distinctively different and have certain differences, but they do not impact the safety.
You know, okay, so I saw that, and I did know the answer to that question before I asked, but I saw that, and my question was, okay, could this be like a legal maneuver for patent purposes? However, patent purposes. However, no. No and no. When you drill down on this, that's really, it's even more than a bait and switch. That is, well, that's an outright lie. Okay.
It's an outright lie. It is not the same vaccine. No. It is different. It is differently patented. And what the ingredients in Comirnaty, we don't even know. They just approved a shot that's never even been tested before that we've seen any testing on. That's the bizarre part. This is something that has never happened in FDA history, where the FDA goes out and they approve a shot that isn't even out on the market and say it's identical to a shot that's already on the market that only has emergency use, but they're both interchangeable. They're both exactly the same, but they're not exactly the same. Right. This has never happened. That's why it's so bizarre when I first heard it and I started reading it. I was so confused. I said, wait, this doesn't make sense. From a business standpoint, why would you change this? Why wouldn't you just say, okay, we've approved the one we're currently using. It's no longer emergency use. It's totally fully approved now. Why would you go in and approve a new shot that doesn't even exist on the market yet when a shot that's already on the market is being rolled out in refrigerators and injected? The only thing that comes to me, the mind that I'm seeing is the FDA wants to have a buffer in saying, okay, all these initial horrific side effects that start hitting the market, which we're seeing now with the VAERS, they're going to say, well, listen, this is an emergency use injection. You knew it was emergency use when it came out. You chose to get an injection and you consented and signed the paperwork. This is an emergency use authorized injection. So really, there is no liability that falls back on the FDA or Pfizer because you knowingly consented to getting injected with an emergency use experimental shot that had not been tested. So what they're doing is now I think they're putting a buffer room to Comirnaty and whatever's in that next one. And now they're saying this one is not experimental. It's not emergency authorized. It's fully approved. So then they can come back in when that one rolls out and say, this is a fully approved one now. Now you need to take it. Sorry about the first one. That was only emergency use. You should trust us now. Because there's nothing else that really makes sense of this, Doug, why they would do this unbelievably shady tactic. And especially from a business point, it really doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. However, the liability issue under EUA, the liability issue, there is no liability issue under.
No, there is no liability.
So that's the only reason it would make sense. Otherwise, why not put the FDA approved, jab juice in there? So that's something people need to really consider. Okay, good, good. And by the way, Pfizer, just to give you an idea, folks, Pfizer in 2019, the company retained 77 lobbyists before the total grew to a team of 102 in 2020. And we're talking about, in 2019, the company spent 11, million? Okay, on lobbying efforts before increasing the total to nearly 13.1 million. And that's the highest in a decade, over a decade. And you know what? The number of hires, number of people from the administrations, plural, throughout Republican or Democrat, to Pfizer. And I've got a list right here just over the last several months here. Pfizer, let's see, there's one through, so it's four pages. There's 74 people on both sides of the aisle going from positions of leadership, whether it be in the executive or congressional or legislative branch to or congressional branch to Pfizer, 74 people. That's incredible. It's incredible.
So, well, that shows you how they've gotten so far and compromised so much. The lobbying money, so they say it's just bribe money in a different word. They make sure that these guys are pushing this. That's why Newsom's doing what he's doing. Canada's doing what they're doing. And the fact of the matter is, this isn't even a question. Human rights, constitutional rights, give us protection and make sure we have to consent to a government. It's a government by the people. If the people don't want an injection, then they don't get an injection. This whole militarization of OSHA now to basically come out with this emergency use, I was reading about that today, and it's interesting. OSHA has not even done what they're doing right now since 1986, and it generally has to be done with a new, highly deadly hazard in the workplace. And so what they're using now is this old clause, this precedent that they did in 1986 to come in now. And OSHA is going to be the spearhead of going in and finding companies that don't mandate a shot. This has never been done before because OSHA does not handle usually experimental, unauthorized vaccines that for emergency use only. This is completely new waters. And so what's happened is the administration is not really signing an executive order on this, from what I've seen. They're directing OSHA to be the spearhead to start finding businesses, 100 employees or more, that haven't mandated the shot. It's exactly what happened with ATF, with Jeff Sessions and Trump. Trump told Sessions, figure it out, tell the ATF they basically have a green light. They're hot. They can do whatever they want and making sure bump fire stocks are banned. Damn legal action. Don't go to courts. Don't go to Congress. Don't do anything. ATF can actually go in now and rewrite 1934 NFA law, and we're giving them permission to do so under any circumstances to ban bump fire stocks. Bump fire stocks have been on numerous occasions reviewed, I think, 3 or 4 times by the ATF. The ATF said there is nothing about this. It's a machine gun. It's a sliding stock. Does not change the trigger performance. Does not change from one pull of the trigger for one shot. Nothing about this changed. It's completely legal. Then they went back in and said, oh, and Trump said we could change our minds. So now it's a machine gun. And if you have one, you can't even register it. You have to discard it, throw it away, or hand it to an ATF agent. And if you get caught with it, it's a felony because we said so. There's no legal precedent. It doesn't matter what it is. We said it's a machine gun, so it's a machine gun. Now we arrest you if you have it.
Well, don't get caught with it. I'm sorry. Yeah, just don't get caught with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is what OSHA's doing now. OSHA's saying, well, we know we can't mandate a vaccine in the workplace, but we're going to mandate a vaccine in the workplace and fine you if you don't get it, even though we actually can't mandate a vaccine in the workplace. The same thing the CDC did with the cruise industry. The CDC said cruises have to halt. You can't cruise anywhere now. Cruise industry said, what? The CDC's not an enforcement agency. Okay. Well, we've watched this now repeatedly over the last couple of years of the alphabet agencies taking way past out of their scope of what they're allowed to do legally and pretty much doing just carte blanche whatever they want. And this is the problem that you have. And this is why I said under no circumstances, under no conditions whatsoever, can we at all surrender, register, turn in, or show our guns for any purposes whatsoever. The only reason you need to be pulling your firearm is to use it to defend your life. That's it. You don't need to display it. You don't need to talk about it. You don't need to register it. None of it. If we ever allow, and that's what they're going to be pushing next, I promise you on this, if we ever allow one of these alphabet agencies like ATF to come in and start dictating what guns we can and can't have from a standard basis, they already did this with machine guns. They already did this with short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns. They've already done this enough. If they start coming in and saying, well, your AR-15 has a brace on it that we don't like, or you have a grip on it, you have a scope on it, that's where this is going to go. They opened the door with bump fire stocks. It set the precedent. That's why no circumstance can we do this. It's ironic. They want to talk about gun violence and bumbling buffoon Joe gets on there and reads his giant screen. Now, I found out he didn't even read teleprompters anymore. They built a whole off-site for him so he can basically have like an 80-inch television right in front of him and he can read it because he can't read teleprompters anymore. They actually brought that up on Yahoo News. Yeah. They called it the Truman Show presidency now. They call it the Truman Show presidency. Everything's theater with him. 100%. Nothing is legitimate. They walk him up there like Weekend at Bernie's. They prop him up. They go, hey, we've got the 80-inch screen on. There's a camera right in front of it. Just read the screen. Don't ask questions. Don't say anything else and walk away when you're done with it. This is literally what they're doing right now. At the same time, I haven't heard one single incident about the Arlington school shooter who's 18 years old, who goes to school with a gun in his backpack, who gets in an altercation with a 15-year-old, pulls out the pistol, shoots the 15-year-old 8 times, shoots the teacher, and shoots another girl that's running away. He's arrested and only charged with attempted assault with a deadly weapon. Has a $75,000 bail bondsman post the same day, and he's out of jail in 24 hours, and his family's showing all these videos on Instagram about how they're having a party at their house, and he's out of jail already. What are we living in, like, clown world here? We have an 18-year-old black male that brings a gun to school and shoots 3 people, and everybody goes, he was getting bullied. It's fine. It's not a big deal. He was getting bullied. You can't be getting bullied at school. It's totally cool. And I'm going, what would have happened if a white kid came to school that was 18 and shot a 15-year-old black boy and a black teacher and a black girl that was running away from him? Oh, that's right. Kyle Rittenhouse did that, except he was shooting convicted felons with firearms that were committing arson. and breaking into buildings. And he shot three individuals, I think two of them which were convicted felons. One of them had a firearm as a convicted felon and pulled the gun on him. He was charged with attempted first-degree murder and attempted manslaughter, had a $2 million bail that he couldn't cover the spread on, and no attorney would even cover him and represent him. Oh, that's right, that already did happen. And everybody blasted on national television. I can't believe he was out there. I can't believe he was out there getting involved. These guys, they were just felons with guns. They were trying to break into buildings and burn them down. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal, guys. Kyle should have never had a gun out there. But then an 18-year-old brings a pistol to school and gets an altercation with another kid, shoots him 8 times, shoots a teacher, shoots another girl, and it was, well, he was getting bullied, guys. It's not a big deal. It was attempted, aggravated assault. You know, I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean,
I was following this on one of the front door of the internet, as they claim, Reddit. You know, and it's a representation, in my view, of people, cross section of people all over the world.
Yeah.
And, just imagine if this was under a different, a Republican, a conservative administration, what would happen? But see, I think we're asking the wrong questions on here to an extent about this, because so we have to ask why. I think, why was he released? Okay, given, was it how can I form this coherently? Was it because he was being bullied? And it was. I mean, you've got video of the incident. Was it because he's black? Was it because there's something else? And the something else could be, bring some sunlight into, the danger of firearms, for example. Or, the disparity in the legal system. This is dividing. This alone, this one incident alone, I was surprised how much this is dividing America even further. Just by watching people's reaction, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. People's reactions are going to different parts of this whole. I mean, people would say, it's either right or wrong, but no. There's shades of gray here, and it's really impacting how people are thinking and talking and interacting with one another. This incident right here alone. So yes, you're right.
I think you nailed it on the head. I think the judge, I think the prosecuting attorney, I think the whole situation, I personally think they probably had an extremely quick meeting on this, and they figured, okay, how can we go in and make this incident as dramatic as possible and hack off and divide as many Americans? We know the majority of what we see is theater, and they did an incredibly good job at it. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They don't even mention the fact this kid is 18. He's an adult. He's not a minor. He's an adult. He shot a minor 8 times. He also shot a teacher as an adult. He's not a minor. That's what nobody's even questioning. This is an adult male shooting a minor on school premises. There are so many felony charges on this, you can't even count them all. But yet he's charged with aggravated assault. I mean, are you joking me? And so I think you're exactly right. I think this is being done intentionally to throw a giant jug of gasoline on the fire right now and cause as much dissension, as much distraction, as much anger, because people are going, dude, we legitimately have 2 legal systems now. We've clearly been shown that all the way from Hillary Clinton and Epstein and that whole group, and now we're seeing the same thing, where pretty much if it fits their narrative, they're going to let you run. We saw the same thing with Antifa. The Antifa guys in Portland, they're getting blatantly arrested for battery on law enforcement, for arson, for destruction of private property. Prosecuting attorney wouldn't even prosecute them, drop the charges on them. Bizarre. But then you have people that were walking on the Capitol grounds, never even went into the Capitol building, and they've had their door kicked in. Just happened last week with a retired Green Beret down here in Florida.
Yep.
Went to the Capitol building. Never went in, walked around the Capitol grounds. They just kicked in his door with 20 FBI agents and arrested him. Ready for the kicker? Misdemeanor trespassing 9 months ago.
Yeah. Folks, please understand, this is not, this is only, and as I'm sorry to say this, this is only the beginning. unless we stop this, and the American people, with a brain, this is not going to work out well. Just about the disparity in the shooting, and you gave several examples. You know, what really hit me, kind of an example of this. For example, Hunter Biden's art. He just sold 5 pieces at Los Angeles for $75,000. Okay. Folks, it's not about the art. It's not about the art. It's about money laundering. Okay. Everything that we see, it's not about what you're seeing. It's about the underlying, problems. Again, Hunter Biden's art, $75,000, 5 pieces. Oh boy. He must be he's the new Picasso. It's not about the art. It's about money laundering. And it's about influence buying as well. But it's never about what you see or what you think you know. It's about something underneath that. So thank you. Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. I don't know if it was, I thought it was 75 per piece. I thought it was even more than that. Maybe it's
75 each. I'm sorry. Yes. 75
each. Yeah, it was like over $400,000. There's like some bogus finger painting he does where gets on crack and rubs his fingers all over with paint. They're like, oh, this is the new Picasso, like you said. No, it's very clear what they're doing with it. I mean, you can't make up any better textbook money laundering. Art has always been used for decades for money laundering and black market sales because you could just put a number on it. Doesn't matter. It's objective. Okay, this piece is worth $5 million. I'm going to give you this art for $5 million. Oh, and then I'm going to buy some, basically inventory from your company after you buy this art from me for $5 million. Dude, it's washing machine. They're washing cash. You can see them do it from a mile away. It's not hard to figure out. But then they want to send the IRS up our butts and say, you had a transaction for $650 real quick here. We need to go ahead and audit this. We need to find out exactly why you spent $650 on this and why it went here, because this is discrepancy. This wasn't filed on your taxes. You may owe back taxes and, penalties on this right now. This is $650. This is a big deal.
Man, I'll tell you what, they can look all day long on my end. I don't know about you, but, are they doing that now? Has that been officially?
It has not been officially gone into law yet. I think what the whole aspect of it is, they need to get this infrastructure bill in place. If you look at the infrastructure bill, there's like $100-something billion, I think, or some ridiculous number that goes to IRS to hire another 120,000 IRS employees for audits. And so the only way, even with algorithms, the only way you can monitor 330 million people's bank accounts in real time, which, by the way, it's grossly illegal. That's one of the issues they're running into right now with it, is the legal system has already picked this up. And I mean, especially when it comes to the Fourth Amendment, like, you can't just go in, even though we already know they monitor it, they already spy on everything. They don't actually spy on it. They just say they don't spy on it. Well, they spy on it. Well, they don't even want to try to pretend they're spying on it. They just want to flat out say, no, we're going to look at everything. Every statement, every transaction, every credit card fee, every cash purchase, everything we can physically get our hands on, we're going to monitor 24/7, 365. Then that way, when you file taxes, we can pretty much undoubtedly 100% figure out a way to bust you on an audit, because there's no physical way you're going to have every single T cross and every die audit unless you spend thousands of dollars to file your taxes every year, especially if you're like a business or something like us, where you have tons of inventory coming in, tons of inventory coming out, all kinds of different charges and payments on a regular basis. Then they can come in as well. Remember, they can say, oh, this guy, Mr. John Smith, he ordered 5 firearms this year. Oh, you see this? He bought 2,000 rounds of ammunition. He's getting audited. Yeah. This guy right here, he actually donated to a Republican in Florida. And him right here, he's been buying vitamins. Oh, definitely flag him. He's getting audited. We're going to flag him too. This is what they're going to do. They're spooling up to bring in a full-blown tyrannical government. That you think right now it's bad, it gets way worse if this goes on. This is going to be North Korea on steroids. You're not going to be able to watch, look, listen, spin, do anything without being monitored on a regular basis. Look at what they're already doing with these shots. My buddy sent me a screenshot yesterday from a text message. He got a random phone number that texted him up and said, hey, and his name, we've been trying to contact you. We have a safe, effective vaccine completely for free, ready for you right now. Have you been vaccinated yet? Literally, that's a text message. I had another friend that got the same thing. They're literally getting phone numbers now. Don't know where they're collecting this data from, these phone numbers. And they're sending them to people and stating, you know, we see you haven't got your vaccine yet. Are you ready to get vaccinated now? Respond back to us and let us know. This is the most bizarre campaign I've ever seen in my life, Doug. And if anything should show people to question the narrative, it's the way they've been acting. The very fact that they're this pushy and this mandating with something that's experimental should make everybody question ever getting the shot under any circumstances.
You know, if people thought this was about health, it's not about health. It's about control. No. It's about centralization. You're going to see this. And I think, Austin, you've been following pretty much the same things I've been following. You're going to see supply shortages unfold this, well, starting now. The system is broken. I mean, it's just incredible. So let me ask this. What comes, I'm going to ask the obvious here. How do we, who are awake, how do we best fight this? Because you can, civil disobedience is one thing. And I think that works. If you study the period from 1765 to 1775, it worked. It's not just, you know, but how do we fight this? Because I don't want to have to shoot somebody who comes to my door saying that they're going to, you know, give me a shot. I don't want to do that. So how can I avoid that ahead of time? How can we as Americans avoid violence?
One of the biggest things that I've said it over and over and over again, I've been trying to get people to actually, you know, listen. A lot of people are now, I think, to some extent. The first aspect of civil disobedience is not complying. The only way this progresses and goes further is through compliance. The longer that people keep taking a step back and saying, hey, listen, I'm going to get the shot just this time, though, so I can go do this. Well, that's it. If you haven't realized anything with the goalpost movement over the last 18 months, it's the fact that the goalposts are never in range. The carrot's always out in front of you. You never get the carrot. It was the same thing last year. It was wear a lockdown, stay in your business. You're not essential. Then wear a mask. Then you can't go here. You can't go there. Social distancing, 666. You can only have 25%. The same thing. And then once they get the shot out, it's been the same thing. The biggest thing you can do is get with like-minded people in the organization, in the business, in the areas you're going to, and say, hey, listen, we're getting medical exemptions. We're getting religious exemptions. We're all getting together. We're not going to comply with this. And you start having huge pockets of individuals. In New York, they try to make an example out of everybody. The whole reason they did that in New York, even though the governor doesn't really even have the legal precedent to go in and start firing healthcare workers that are licensed, trained on these facility grounds and replace them with National Guard members, which that's so far-fetched to me. That right there shows you this is nothing even near a real pandemic. You're taking licensed, trained, competent individuals that work in these hospitals and have for years on end, and you've now fired them because they're completely healthy, and replacing them with individuals who have no idea about the area. Yeah, that right there should show you this is nothing about health or safety. It's all about compliance. Well, the more you start seeing people do that, the bigger the groups are going to get, and the bigger everybody's going to start standing up. And now we're starting to see in a lot of these free states, like down here in Texas and Florida, we're becoming more and more belligerent. Most places down here, I mean, they don't really bug you about anything anymore. A lot of places now, I've always mentioned this repeatedly, if you're in some of these states, it's time to start looking at an exit strategy. The Civil War is upon us. It is the beginning phases. You know, a lot of people talk about prior history. There's very few times in history where one morning you wake up and everything is absolutely perfect perfection, and the next day you wake up and you're in a full-blown gunfight shooting war. It doesn't usually happen like that. It's a progressive failure of things to get worse and worse and worse until all else completely breaks loose. Then it goes completely sideways. We're in that beginning phase right now where everything's starting to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you can see the catalyst is going to start coming down to this injection when they start getting more and more and more serious about it, especially like within California. They're going to inject children now to go to school. Kidding me? It's not even tested. You're telling me it's okay to inject in my children, and you tell me I have to? This should be a giant red flag for everybody in California. The resistance must strengthen. Civil disobedience must occur. No compliance can be accepted under any circumstance if we expect to keep this from going to a full-blown all-out war. And that's, I mean, that's going to be horrific, man. Nobody wants that. We shouldn't have to have that. No. We shouldn't have to go that to maintain a republic right now over an experimental injection. How pathetic is America if that's what happens to us?
Yeah, and I look at Australia as kind of the, the barometric for the world, the Western world. And Canada, too, which has kind of gone full-blown, just crazy. So very, very good. Austin Brower, by the way, healthmasters.com. Folks, please go to healthmasters.com right now. As we near the end of this segment, right now, go to healthmasters.com. Open up another browser, whatever you might want to do, but just go there. And folks, do me a favor. I always jokingly say, I can't afford to lose any more viewers or listeners. I mean, you know, beyond the 6 or 7 I've got now. I'm kidding, but there it is right there. The best stuff on the planet, in my view, healthmasters.com, and shop. And do me a favor. Put away the coffee money. You know, put that aside, you know, for your $5 cups of coffee or your whatever. Just repurpose the money toward getting healthy or staying healthy, boosting your immune system. I can't tell you how much this means to me. You know, by the way, Steve Quayle is improving, okay, is improving. Russ Dizdar was down with the flu, normal flu, I guess, or had an issue, you know, feeling kind of bad, but he's up and around, so that's a good thing. But see, we need to really get healthy and stay healthy with Health Masters. Healthmasters.com. And no, vitamin D does not cure or prevent COVID, okay? I'm just saying. And we addressed that earlier. But it is important for strengthening your immune system. Healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Please do that today for me. And hey, let them know you heard it on the Hagman Report. That way they know, you know? So, and do that. All right. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I'll go ahead and I'll activate the Doug 5 coupon for over the weekend, Doug, for all the listeners. They can have that on there. And Anne's, you know, kind of a secondary offset of your question. Another thing we can do to really be ready for this is be self-sufficient and prepared. Have our immune system strong, like you said. A healthy populace is a strong populace. A strong populace is a non-submissive populace. When you have a populace that's strong and healthy, they're not going to comply because they don't need to comply. The same thing with being self-sufficient and being prepared. If you got stacked up food buckets, if you have some MREs, if you got canned food, if you got beans and rice, whatever your preference is, I like to have various of it. That's why I encourage people to get the meat buckets before they go up or the organic food buckets and have canned foods, have backup stuff. If you have supplies, that takes you another step out of the equation where they can't control you, because now you don't have to go to the store if something goes sideways. You don't have to leave. You can get your preps in your neighborhood, and you can have everything situated with your friends and family and solidify a certain area and have a pocket of resistance. The same thing with having access to clean water, water filtration, or backup water jugs. This is all really important things that everybody has to start doing, because America has gotten lazy, so lazy. People don't want to do anything anymore. They want to stop at McDonald's, get their fast food, go home, watch their Netflix, pass out, get up in the morning, do the same thing over again. Like you said, spend your money. I talked to a buddy of mine at the barbershop the other day. He was asking me how he can lose some weight. I said, well, what do you eat for breakfast? He said, well, I stop at Chick-fil-A every morning. Every morning. I said, every morning. He goes, every morning on the way to work. I stop at Chick-fil-A and I get one of their sandwiches. It's how much money you spend. So I spent like $9. I said, $9. I said, man, I can cut that in half for you with a good breakfast. I said, start off with 2 whole eggs, a banana, and a protein shake. I said, that won't cost you more than $5 to $6. And I said, that'll get you morning great. You'll feel good. Your blood sugar will be stabilized. You'll stop giving money to Chick-fil-A, and you basically will become much healthier, and I promise you, you'll lose weight. I said, that meal right there in and of itself will have a huge impact every single day. Now, is it wrong to go out and get fast food occasionally? It's not something I'm going to do. Not something I recommend. But no, it is what it is occasionally. But eating that stuff every day, putting that toxin in your body. Chick-fil-A, as much as I love the original organization, they're not the same company they were anymore. They put MSG in everything. A lot of stuff is completely and totally compromised. Their milkshakes have Red 40 food coloring in them. Their chocolate milkshakes. Don't understand that one, why they put Red 40 food coloring in chocolate milkshakes. And so, again, don't think that because it's Chick-fil-A, it's somehow healthy. It's not. just be aware of that. I'm not blasting them. Taco Bell and McDonald's are probably much worse. I know they're much worse, but it's not one of those things where I'm eating Chick-fil-A every morning for breakfast, so I'm eating healthy. No, you're not. Don't delude yourself into thinking that.
Yeah, you're right when you said it's not the same organization anymore. We only have, let's see, about 2 minutes left. So your closing thoughts on things in the final 2 minutes.
I think the biggest thing that I can come up with right now is resist everything that you know not to be true. If you have a conviction, I said this on the show for the last year and a half. That's why I've been so adamant about masks. I still won't wear masks. And people still sometimes say stuff to me about it. Now they're like, why are you so adamant about masks? I said, masks got us in this situation right now. I said there was no effective reasoning for masks. Yes, at the very beginning, everybody got played. Everybody got told you to wear masks for your protection. As soon as the research came out, everybody should have ripped their mask off and said, dude, I'm done. This is stupid. I'm not wearing this crap anymore. The one I'm going to put a diaper on my face doesn't work at all. But yet still to this day, there are mask mandates all across the country. Still to this day in Florida, I see people riding around in their cars with masks on. I promise you, the virus is the least of your problems in Florida. We had a biker shootout on I-4 at midnight the other night, right 5 miles down the road from my house. They're in the middle of I-4. They start shooting at each other. Ironically enough, two bikers were shot. The biker that shot the two other individuals, guess what he got charged with? Attempted first-degree murder and attempted manslaughter. He didn't get aggravated assault.
Yeah, there it is, the dual justice system in action. Yeah. And thank you. Austin Brower, thank you so much. And, folks, thank you for being patient. Understand that this will be the program for tonight in its entirety. Austin, God bless you. Have a great night.